Good morning. It is Sunday morning, the Lord's Day, and we are excited. This is your alarm clock to get up and get ready to get to church, and we are waking you up on a Sunday morning. Old Lion and Young Lion here on WPTR, and we are excited to share what God has given us from His Word today. And we are a Bible talk show. We talk about the Bible. We talk about the truths that are hidden in the Holy Scriptures, and we love sharing it with you. Our show is called Old Lion, Young Lion. We base that off of our boss. Now you might say, well, you guys have a boss? Yes, we do have a boss, and his name is Jesus Christ. And the Bible calls him the Lion of the Tribe of Judah, the greatest lion of all time. And here's what the premise is of this show. The Bible teaches us very clearly that the righteous are bold as lions. And we intend to follow that command and that expectation from God's Word that we are to walk boldly as lions. And that's where we got the idea from the show. Now, my name is Anthony, and I am here with the Old Lion, Sam Hazleton, and we are part of the pastoral team of Electric City Baptist Church, located in Schenectady. We're on Hamburg Street, 2350 Hamburg Street, Electric City Baptist Church, and we'd love for you to come join us on a Sunday morning sometime. We have our gatherings at 10:30 a.m. every Sunday and multiple other gatherings throughout the week. We intend to share what the Bible teaches. We intend to uncover truth and proclaim it boldly. Now, we have a new campaign going on here in 2024 this year, and it's fresh and brand new. We want you to partake in it, and that is this. If you email us a topic or Bible question that you'd like to make onto the air, and it does get on the air, we will send you a piece of Old Lion, Young Lion merchandise. Now, our email address is oldlionyounglion@gmail.com, and we'd love for you to email us your questions or Bible topics that you'd like to talk about. Now, we have a tradition here on this show where we start every week off with a word of prayer, and we ask for you to join us in that. Take a deep breath this morning as you're getting ready to get to church and spend a moment of time in prayer with us right now. Now, Sam Hazleton, Old Lion, if you don't mind, would you kick us off with a word of prayer this morning? Good morning to you.
Good morning. I will indeed. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you this morning that we are here. Lord, I want to thank you for the word of God. Father, I'm asking today that as we speak, as we read the word of God, as we kind of unpack it and explain it, I pray that Schenectady, New York, that the whole capital region area would hear this, the sound of our voices, that would be awakened in their souls, in their spirits, and that they would come to the Savior, Jesus Christ. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. And, you know, we pray a blessing over you. If you're listening here, we hope that whatever journey that you're on or whatever you've been walking through this week, that this show is just a part of you coming a little bit closer to the Most High God, the creator of the universe, and you're able to get some guidance and steps in how you can get to. And we do pray a blessing over you, and we hope that you enjoy and walk along with us in this show. Now, we've been going over the best book in the whole Bible. Obviously, if you listened to last week's show, you know that that is my opinion, that I love the book of Colossians. It's a succinct, powerful book, only four chapters long in the New Testament. Also written by the one and only Apostle Paul, and while he was doing time in jail. And so we went over a lot of things over the past couple weeks. Why don't you catch us up on a few of those things, Sam?
We've been in Colossians now. I think this is our fifth episode just in the book of Colossians. We're not even halfway through. And just a little fun fact, little trivia. This book of Colossians is not only one of Pastor Anthony's favorites, but it's one of my favorites as well. I remember when I was engaged to my wife back many years ago, to pass the time, I decided to memorize the book of Colossians. So I memorized all four chapters of Colossians, and I would call her up on the phone and recite it to her to practice. She was very patient with me. And so here we are. We've been married for 34 years. And
wow.
But anyway, to recap Colossians, I'm not going to go back through everything here, but just to one of the things that we hit last week was in Colossians chapter 2 and verse 8. And I'm going to read it again because it's so great. See to it that no one takes you captive by philosophy and empty deceit, according to human tradition, according to the elemental principles of the world, and not according to Christ. We saw that there were basic philosophies of the world. One of those philosophies that we talked about was that the world looks at people and says, oh, these people are basically good. They're just like a nice blank slate here, and all you got to do is teach them the right things, give them enough money, give them a place to live, and all the problems in the world, all the evil that's in the world, it's just because people don't have enough money, or they don't have the right parents, or they weren't have the right surroundings, and they're poor, or whatever. And so you can solve all the world's problems just by making sure everybody goes to school and has a place to live and has enough food to eat, and all the problems in the world go away. False. Our human condition is fallen. We saw in Genesis chapter 3, when Adam and Eve ate the forbidden fruit in the garden, that sin came into the world through that event, and death through sin, and passed unto all men. So another philosophy of the world we talked about last week was this idea that people do not change. And if somebody's an alcoholic, they're always going to be an alcoholic. If somebody's a drug addict, they're always going to be a drug addict. If somebody has anger problems, they're always going to have anger problems. And so we need to medicate them. We need to incarcerate them. We need to do something to kind of control them, because they're really always going to be like that. The Bible says just the opposite, that if any man be in Christ Jesus, he is a new creation.
Wow, amen.
Old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. And the last one we talked about is this idea, this philosophy of the world, that we as people are just biological machines. We are just the sum total of our cells and our chemicals and the neurons and all the things that make up our physical body is the sum total of who we are, just a basket of chemical soup here. And the reality that the Bible teaches us is quite the opposite. We are spirit, we are soul, we are body, these three working together. And the spirit and the soul are immaterial. They are eternal aspects of our being. God created them, and they are forever. We talked about the fact that we as people are going to live forever somewhere. We are not going to just stop being when we rest in the grave. Our spirit and our soul live on. Our consciousness goes on. And so we have to prepare ourselves for that reality. We have to be passed out of the kingdom of darkness. If we're in the kingdom of darkness, our soul, body, spirit are going to live forever, separated from God, in hell. If we are in the kingdom of light, if we've passed out of darkness into light, our soul, spirit, and body will live forever with God in heaven. That simple. And so that's a recap of where we are. Anthony chapter 2, verse 9 today. Maybe you could read that.
We're going to get into the second half of Colossians 2. And I think it's wise that we share with those that are listening that we're not just making this up. This is not just a new philosophy that we've come upon, or that old lion and young lion here have just decided here's a better way of life. We're going to the holy word of God, thousands of years old, finding these principles that are set in here, these teachings that are direct in here, and then sharing them with you. We hope that you don't just take our word for it or our view, but you go and dig out the scripture and find out for yourself. Paul, when he teaches us and warns us about these traditions of men, he uses a very interesting word. He says, beware. He's warning you that the philosophies and traditions of men are dangerous if taken out of context, wrongly used. And we've all seen that happen. We've seen the men of this world use their own philosophies to destroy other human beings. And we have a phrase and a word that we defined here on this show called redemption. And what we say redemption is that God fixes broken things. And he's in the business of fixing broken things. And so let's use that as we go to the second half of this chapter. Let's see kind of how God works these things out. Let's read verses. This is Colossians chapter number 2. We're just going to start with 9 and 10. And here's what the Bible says. For in him, it's in Jesus, for in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in him, who is the head of all principality and power. These are strong verses that really need to be examined. Let's start with verse 9.
You may react in the same way that I do. When I think about this, if you imagine how big and how powerful God is. And then to think that the entire fullness of who God is dwelt in bodily form in Jesus Christ.
Wow.
It makes it more understandable. We all know the facts about Jesus' life. We all know that he walked on water. We all know that he raised people from the dead. We all know that he put mud in the eyes of a man born blind and the man could see again. We all know that he healed people that had been crippled and paralyzed for their entire lives, and they got up and carried their mat away. We understand that the Lord Jesus Christ did these things. Why? Because the fullness of who God is dwelt bodily in him. And you notice, it just tells you a little bit about what kind of God our God is. What does he do? He heals people. He fixes these broken things. He raises. He takes things that are evil. He takes awful things that have happened to people, and he turns them around, and he makes beautiful and good things happen to people. This is the kind of God he is. I think in our culture, we've gotten this idea that God is sort of this mean, judgmental God with lightning bolts ready to strike at whoever he's angry with. But we have to understand what the heart of God truly is to heal people. He sees people suffering and he wants to relieve their suffering. He sees people going through difficult times and he wants to help them.
And what I love about this, how this passage is kicking off, is that it gives you this description of a God who can be counted on. And it gives you an idea of a God who can, you can build your life on. And he's not just some distant statue made out of stone or wood. He's not just some man that will relieve you of your current physical needs. He is the Most High God who can be counted on and trusted, and in Jesus dwells all the fullness and power of God in completeness. So before we give this teaching in Colossians, you got to know that what it's based on is that we believe that this God can supply all your need according to his riches and glory. He can do that. We learned last week or a couple weeks ago that in him is found all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. So this is Paul teaching in Colossians an additional point of Jesus's resume that says he is trustworthy. Because the next verse that he's going to talk about is a powerful verse. And if you don't believe that he is worthy, you won't be able to understand how verse 10 applies to you. So let's read verse 10 with the understanding that in Jesus dwells the fullness of God, and see how Paul is going to apply this lesson. He says, "And now you are complete in him, which is the head of all principalities and powers." Let's take a deep breath and think about that for a second. The God who just had this Jesus, who has all the fullness of God, now tells you that you can be complete in him. What is he talking about, Sam?
Well, it's interesting. This idea of us being in Christ is a theme that is found throughout the New Testament. So we are in Christ. And I remember hearing you say something about this, Anthony. You talked about us being in Christ. It's like a soldier being inside a tank. Explain what you mean by that.
Well, what we find is this. It's a very good question. Here's what we find. In the book of Ecclesiastes, there's a verse that says this, that God has set eternity in man's heart. So for those of you out there that may not understand that in the Old Testament, there's a couple of books that are poetic, that have proverbs in them. Ecclesiastes is one of them, and it teaches truth through eloquent sayings and proverbs. And one of them is that God has set eternity in your heart. Now, you might say, I don't know, what does that mean? Well, here's what it means, is that every single one of you that's listening today has a desire to be fulfilled by something, has a desire to be satisfied. There's the old phrase that came about in the movies where someone meets the woman of their dreams and he says, "You complete me." We know that's not true, especially in the West with 51% divorce rate here in the United States. People are not being completed by their wife or husband. We find that people go to work and they spend years and years at their work only to be fired and have someone replace them within a week. Their job didn't complete them or fulfill them. You might have some kind of hobbies, but you got an injury and you weren't able to continue doing that hobby because your hobby ultimately was not the thing that can complete you. Though that your heart is in need, it's desiring to be fulfilled. It's desiring to have that emptiness filled up. None of the things on earth can do that. Only but for a season, the Bible says, these things can make you feel complete. But only the Jesus, only the King of Kings, only the Lord of Lords can complete you.
And wow.
That happens by being in him. This is the idea of the soldier that's inside of a tank. A soldier without a tank. A soldier without his brothers, a soldier without an army cannot do anything. He can't complete anything. He's on his own. But when you put him in that tank, powerful and able to conquer and able to equip and furnish and complete, now this soldier can walk around as if he's got a full armor on. He's equipped. He's able to go into battle. He's able to complete things. He has purpose. He has mission because he is now in this vehicle that can take him where he needs to go. And that comparison is those that are in Christ Jesus.
He is that tank that we are in. There's an interesting passage in the Gospel of John in chapter 17 and verse 23. It says this, Jesus is praying before he goes to the cross. And starting in 22, it says, the glory that you have given me, I have given to them, that they may be one, even as we are one. Verse 23, I in them and you in me. So here's Jesus describing this, and which is the same thing that we see in Colossians chapter 2, verse 9. It's talking about God being in Christ, Christ being in us, and we just talked about in verse 10, us being in Christ. I don't know if you've ever seen one of these Russian Matryoshka dolls, which is this large doll, and you open it up, and inside there's a smaller doll, almost the same thing, and then you open that one up, and there's one inside of that, and you open that one, and there's one inside of that, and they keep getting smaller. And this is kind of the picture that's being painted for us in Colossians, is that God is in Christ, Christ is in us, and then we are in Christ.
I think that's so good, because it takes the idea that you actually can be made into something new and gives it feet. It allows you to recognize that those that are looking for real change in their life, you can have that real change when you fall at the feet of Jesus Christ. Mm. When you come to place your faith in Jesus Christ, he gives you a new life. He gives you new life. And the Bible says that it's life and life more abundant. Then the end of this verse in Colossians 2:10, and I'd love for the old lion to give some of his thoughts on this. It says that Jesus is the head of all principalities and powers. So he's talking about Jesus' strength again. Jesus is the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Then you can have the opportunity to be in Christ, in God, in the tank that is Jesus Christ. And now again, it proclaims that Jesus is the head of all principality and power.
In Matthew 28 and verse 18, this is Jesus right before he ascended to be up with his Father in heaven. One of the last things he said to his disciples, it says, and Jesus came to and said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. And then he instructs them. He says, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them and teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you. And behold, he says, I am with you always to the end of the age. And so here's this Jesus. He says, oh, by the way, I'm king of the universe. Oh, by the way, there's nobody that's above me. Oh, by the way, nobody lifts hand or foot without my say-so. Oh, by the way, I'm in charge even of the kingdom of darkness. It doesn't make a move without me allowing that. And so we have to understand that this is the one who is also, he says, I'm with you. Oh, by the way, the one who has all power and authority, he's with us. The idea, if you are a believer in Jesus Christ, if you've been translated out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his beloved Son, you have this working for you. the one who has all power and authority in the universe, is with you today. Think about that.
Yeah, and we get really excited when it comes to talking about the King. But Sam, it kind of shows to me, and when I think about this, that if we're talking about these great and precious promises that the Word of God shares with all of humanity, there's something that's holding up people from getting to know this King. There's something that's stopping people from coming to this person in Jesus Christ. There's something that's not, that might need to be cut away from this person so that they can be complete in Jesus Christ. So when we look in this passage of Colossians chapter number 2, it's declaring the kingship of Jesus Christ. It's declaring the power of Jesus Christ, not only on a universal level, but to an individual. It's declaring, hey, there can be personal change with this God who knows your name. So when we get to verse 11 in Colossians 2, what's this thing that's holding up people from saying, hey, I need that. I want that. I don't want these burdens and struggles anymore. How can I come to this Jesus?
Well, if we look in these next three verses here in Colossians chapter 2, verses 11 through 13, you're going to see something interesting being talked about. And I'm going to read them here, and you'll see the word that I'm talking about. It'll jump right out at you. In him also, you were circumcised with a circumcision made without hands by putting off of the body of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. Verse 12, having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through faith in the powerful working of God who raised him from the dead. And you who were dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made alive together with him, having forgiven us all our trespasses.
Oh, wow. What is he getting at?
So this is a mouthful, obviously, but you saw the word that kept coming up over and over again. It's this circumcision word, this idea of circumcision. And I don't want to get too technical here with it, but I think most of us know what circumcision is. A little male baby comes out, and there's this piece of dead flesh, this dead skin that surrounds the tip of the male member. And this is something that Abraham, in fact, was commanded by God to circumcise all his male offspring. And this is a tradition that's followed through from the time of Abraham all the way to the present time. I remember our own three boys were circumcised. And so this is a removal of dead, useless flesh from around, revealing and showing a very sensitive member. And what we're seeing here in this passage, this circumcision, God turns the tables on this. He says, this circumcision that was made in the flesh, that's just a natural picture of a spiritual reality.
Well, and the Bible does this often in regards to parables and stories, is it gives you a picture of something that is temporal, that's earthly, that is physical, that's natural, but it's reflecting a truth that's supernatural, eternal, and spiritual. So what is he reflecting? What is he showing us? In what ways is there some treasure that's hidden in this parable or picture that we can pull from in Colossians chapter number 2?
God explains this parable of circumcision, not just in the New Testament, but also in the Old Testament itself. If I turn to the Old Testament prophet Jeremiah, and I'm in chapter 4 and verse 4, it says this, "Circumcise yourselves to the Lord. Remove the foreskin of your hearts, O men of Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem." So God is explaining here that what I really am looking for, I know this is a picture, this dead flesh that you cut away and throw away, but the picture here is there's dead flesh, there's callous hardness that has come around our hearts of flesh, and this has to be cut away from us so that we can become, have new hearts, have a fresh heart, have a sensitive heart, have a loving heart. And the Bible talks about this time and time again. It says in Romans chapter 6 that we were crucified. If you're in Christ, you were crucified with Christ. Your old self, this callous, fleshly, selfish person, was crucified with Christ. And now that you have been crucified, we have to take, what do you do with a dead person. You need to bury them. And it talks about in Colossians 2 in verse 12 here, having been buried with him in baptism. And so when we were baptized in water, it was a symbolic event that showed how we had been crucified with Christ, and now we're being buried in baptism. We come up out of the water completely new. The old self is washed away. Now we are free to live in God.
And I think that at first that seems like some deep, deep thoughts. And to some degree it is. So let me kind of wrap up today's show with this. And we haven't done this on the show so explicitly in all of our episodes. So I want everybody to pay attention to this. The Bible says this, that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Every single one of you out there has violated God's law, whether it be the Ten Commandments or the law of your own heart, that there's been something that you've done that's wrong. And God says that there's a price to pay for that. And he says that the price to pay for the sin that you've committed is that you have to spend eternity separated from God in hell. God states clearly that he so loved the world that he sent his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in Jesus Christ shall have everlasting life and shall be passed from death into life. So if you've been listening to our show for the past 10 weeks, this is the reason why we even have this, is because we want to declare and tell everybody out there, as many people as we can tell, that Jesus saves. And that those of you who have been lost and dying and feeling like things are going wrong as you're stuck in your sins, that he has made a way of escape. He has made a way that you can be bought with a price, and that price is God's son. The Bible says that all of these things that you may do in your life can be good or can be bad, but ultimately it's going to come down to this. Do you believe in the saving power of Jesus Christ and his death on the cross? Now, this is not a show that's filled with politics or talking about local events or any kind of thing that might be your interest. What it is that we want to uncover truth and declare it boldly. We are old lion and young lion, and we believe that it is our responsibility to search out the scriptures and then to declare it on the airwaves. We've been having such a great time walking through scripture with you, and we intend to continue to do so. We hope that you follow along with us. We hope that you learn something from today's scripture reading and teaching. We hope that you have a wonderful day, and we hope that God blesses you.
We'll see you at church.